Hi all, my name is Maria and I'll be joining the Investable team. It's nice to meet you and I look forward to working with many of you in the near future. I would now like to welcome you to the month 6 Investable ETR briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of June to the 30th of June 2024. Hopefully you'll find it interesting as we look closer at what's happening within the Credit Group. Firstly, Stephen will be discussing trade finance transactions during the month of June and will give a refresher on the core principles Credit was built on. Next, George will show some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects him and the team are looking at. Ruby will be going through our monthly reports and updates on the European and global economies, and then she'll take a look at the briefing itself and share some of the key information from it with some updates on credit. Lastly, Patrick would like to talk about the Investable intermediary app at the end of the meeting. So for our first topic, I would like to hand you over to Stephen, who is a member of our trade desk.
Thanks for that, Maria. So for today's trade desk piece, we'll be focusing on an originator we have not discussed before. The client this month is an Irish company involved in supplying construction products to the residential and commercial sectors. This involves distributing exterior and interior cement boards, insulation systems, finished products and one coat renders, to name but a few. They started their operations in 1999 and since then have grown substantially, forging strong relationships with renowned international suppliers. These include USG, United States Gypsum, NAF, Germany, Aquaboards Building Materials, UAE, and Hangs Daub, based in China. All are widely acknowledged suppliers, providing quality building materials to a sector affected by changing building standards and requirements. Our client has experienced significant growth and maintains a presence in both the Irish and UK markets, catering primarily to building merchant groups and large contractors. They've also adopted an aggressive marketing approach, which has driven sales and experienced record revenue and profits in 2022, with more moderate growth in recent times. Due to this increased success, they encountered constraints on their financial ability in purchasing stock and meeting customer demands. To address these limitations, they joined Credet in 2015 and availed of our Detour debtor finance, which helped them free much needed working capital. This allowed them to draw down the purchase payment price on their aged receivables and assist with their cash flow requirements. As they proved themselves reliable with good debtor payment history, Credet extended our offer to allow them utilize our Detour credit facility in 2016. Since then, they've traded considerable sums on both their debtor and creditor statements in a multitude of currencies. Total traded to date on their debtor accounts currently stands at 18.1 million euro with 650,000 GBP traded with UK-based customers. They've also drawn down creditor funds worth 1.4 million euro with a further 3.8 million USD, enabling them to increase market presence and secure repeat customers. It's worth noting that it's not all been plain sailing with this client. In 2017, they made two almost fatal transactions, and if it weren't for Credet support, the company would have ceased operations. At this time, they incurred bad debts worth 287,000. And to make matters worse, both debtor accounts were traded with Credet. In essence, Credet stood to lose funds, or worse again, your investors were exposed to lose. However, as you know, that is not how Credet works. We always take first loss, but thankfully, in this instance, the reserve balance held on account covered the value of the potential losses. Armed with this knowledge and given our previous trading history, we put in place a repayment plan to enable our client to continue operations and repay the exchange. The situation could have ended in tragedy, but by April 2020, they had repaid the monies lost and continued to trade with us today. We understand some traditional investors may have concerns regarding Credet's ETUR model, and we take these concerns seriously. Our risk management team undertakes an active role identifying risks and securing investable funds through various means. As a result, they have identified risks associated with our BTR credit facility, and due to this, strictly enforce requirements before funds can be drawn down. To recap on our BTR trade finance, this involves the use of our Credet ETUR exchange-traded receivable purchasing model, which utilizes investable funds. Credet purchases creditor performa invoices, helping our clients buy goods and services. On the day ETURs are authorized, funds are transferred to their suppliers. Credet then generates a modest profit based on the number of days outstanding and uses profits to settle investors and pay intermediary commissions. As part of our due diligence, all creditor bank account details must be verified verbally on trusted phone numbers. This step is critical to prevent financial fraud and ensure beneficiary account details are legitimate and validated directly with an account representative before funds are released. We also insist performa invoices are addressed credit exchange care of our client's name. This practice ensures that in the unlikely event of default, ownership of the stock is clear and avoids disputes over legal title. A minimum deposit is also held on account and equates to 10% to 20% of the outstanding balance on creditor statements. This covers potential non-payment and reduces Credet's exposure. It also demonstrates our clients' commitment to our business relationship and their willingness to resolve issues which may arise. The last requirement enforced on Credet's BTR finance is bill of lading documents must indicate the consignee to the order of Credit Exchange Limited. This phrase holds significant importance in international shipping and is used as security in trade finance. Bill of ladings are legally binding documents which acknowledge receipt of cargo and specifies the party sanctioned to take delivery of the goods. This ensures our client cannot take possession without Credet's prior authorization. This requirement has become increasingly prevalent due to Credet's finance structures implementing letter of credits and international sellers favoring this method of guaranteed payment. Currently, bill of lading documents are being sent to Credet's offices in Baggot Street, where they are scanned and originals couriered to the freight management companies, whose role is to collect and transport goods to their end destination. As you can understand, these originals hold significant importance, and if lost, releasing the goods cannot take place and consequences are financially onerous. However, as this provides Credet with an additional level of protection, we believe this to be a mandatory requirement for deals going forward. On a final note about the originator covered this month, they received an offer to be wholly purchased by a US buyer for an approximate value of 8 million euro. They rejected this offer and instead restructured with new shareholders coming on board with the sole intention of increasing market presence and expanding into the US market. If this purchase went ahead, it would have been the 10th originator to sell their business due to Credet's involvement, providing financial solutions and enabling our clients grow and effectively create profitable and attractive enterprises for buyers in their respective markets. Hope you found this presentation informative. I will now pass you to George, who is going to discuss some of the opportunities DealDesk are reviewing and will hopefully materialize in the coming weeks.
Thank you, Stephen, and good afternoon, everyone. As mentioned in previous briefings, we are proactively trying to get leads from across the globe. However, in recent weeks, we have gained some momentum in engaging with some companies closer to home. One such company we are currently in discussions with is a company based in the United Kingdom that sells sunflower oil they get from suppliers in India to customers based in Malaysia. This company was founded in the 1980s. This company started as a modest logistics company with a vision to streamline and enhance international trade processes. Over the decades, the company expanded its operations, embracing new technologies and adapting to ever-changing demands of the global markets. Today, it boasts a robust network of offices and partners across the globe, offering comprehensive logistics solutions that cater to diverse clientele. They are experts in the import and export of sunflower oil and supermarket items in the United Kingdom and Africa. In addition to this, they provide services such as freight forwarding. They ensure the efficient and timely transportation of goods by air, sea and land. Their expertise in handling customs regulations and documentation to further streamline the shipping process. Warehousing and distribution. This company offers state-of-the-art warehousing facilities equipped with advanced inventory management systems. This ensures seamless storage and distribution, enabling businesses to maintain optimal stock levels and meet customer demands swiftly. Supply chain management. The company provides end-to-end supply chain solutions from procurement and production planning to delivery and reverse logistics as well. Their integrated approach helps businesses achieve greater efficiency, cost savings, and improve customer satisfaction. We are also in discussions with a commodity trader who is also based in the United Kingdom. This company plans to purchase a large amount of sugar from a supplier in Brazil to then be sold to a customer in Ghana. Now, we have looked at a dozen or more of this particular trade, and we know the intricacies of selling into Ghana. As yet, none of the other originators that approached us were able to satisfy the deal desk that they understood the complications and had the correct solutions that is tried and tested. We will look at this transaction, and like the others, we've seen, unless the originator can prove their expertise and experience can meet the challenges of selling into that market, we will not proceed. We are in discussions with a company that is starting an electric vehicle distributorship in the United Kingdom. They plan to buy the vehicles from a supplier in China and then sell them to customers in the United Kingdom. This is a very interesting, albeit new business. The customers in the United Kingdom will be large car dealerships, and the originator has already attained draft contracts. On the supplier side then, they have attained exclusive distribution agreements with three manufacturers in China. So that's a very interesting one. Further afield then, we have an interesting steel opportunity that we are in discussions with a company based in Turkey. They were founded in 2013, and they provide iron and steel products to customers globally. One of the strengths of this company is its diverse product range. The company specializes in manufacturing a wide range of metal products, including construction materials from robust steel beams to high quality rebar. They provide essential materials that support Turkey's booming construction industry. Automotive parts, they provide precision engineering components for the automotive sector, ensuring safety and performance for vehicles. Agricultural equipment, they provide durable and reliable tools and machinery that support Turkey's agricultural sector. Industrial components, they sell custom-made parts that meet the stringent requirements of various industrial applications. The specific deal we are in discussions with them about involves the purchase of a large amount of sheet metal from a supplier in Kazakhstan to then be sold to a customer in Turkey. So as we have discussed electric cars in today's briefing, and as some of you may know, electric cars are not just, you know, a futuristic concept. they are rapidly becoming an integral part of our present. With growing environmental concerns, you know, advancements in technology and increasing customer demand, electric vehicles or EVs are set to revolutionize the way we travel. As climate change and air pollution become pressing global issues, electric cars offer a sustainable alternative to the traditional internal combustion engine vehicles. They produce zero tailpipe emissions, reducing greenhouse gases and improving air quality. Innovations in battery technology, electric drivetrains and vehicle design have made electric cars more efficient, more reliable and affordable. And then improvements in lithium iron batteries, for instance, have led to longer driving ranges and faster charging times. Interestingly, many governments worldwide are offering incentives such as tax breaks, rebates and subsidies to encourage the purchase of electric vehicles. So thank you very much for your time, everyone. It's always a pleasure. And back over to you now, Ruby.
Thanks, George. As always, it's nice to hear about some of the deals that you and your team are looking at. Hopefully in the future, we will be discussing some of these in our trade section of the briefing. So as we've stated before, Credit will always try to stay informed on what's happening in the world when looking for any new business. Trades that are meaningful to us and have an impact in today's current affairs will always be available, as they're what the world and what the market is focusing on. We can see that the ongoing wars are still continuing to cause a lot of focus on risks for financial markets, leaving investors to see if the conflict will cause issues globally, with potential to cause a further increase to oil prices and to the world economy. As stated in previous briefings, Credit has no direct exposure to the countries involved in the conflict, and we will continue to monitor events and look for any potential spread to other countries in the region. This month, we saw that US oil refiners are expected to report much lower figures from their second quarter earnings since June of last year, after a fall in their summer season that weakened refining margins. Refiners increased their processing capacity in the last 3 months, ending in June, to 93.5%, compared to 91% in the previous year. This was due to an unexpected spike in gasoline and diesel fuel demand that ultimately fell short, according to the Energy Information Administration. Rising diesel inventories over the quarter that were fueled by new refineries in the Middle East and higher exports from China shrunk refining margins and cut into profits. Forecasts show that refining cracks weakened throughout the second quarter, and the forecasts also showed that lower refining margins due to weak fuel prices would have a negative impact on their second quarter results. The US gasoline crack spread, which is the difference between gasoline and crude oil futures, fell to over $22 a barrel in June, which is the lowest since February. The diesel crack spread traded at a two-year low of $22.22 a barrel in June. Valero Energy, which is the second largest US refiner, is set to kick off refiner earnings at the end of July, with analysts forecasting profits of $2.60 per share, which is down from $5.40 a year ago. Looking at oil prices, we can see that they've rose due to the above falling US crude inventories and also the growing supply risks from wildfires in Canada, which have boosted prices. Brent crude futures rose to 42 cents, with West Texas crude also rising to 42 cents. West Texas had a loss of 7% over the previous quarters, with Brent decreasing to nearly 5% this year. US crude oil and gasoline fell for the fourth week this month, reflecting an unsteady demand. Wildfires in Canada were also supporting prices, with the fires forcing some producers to limit production due to threats against the supply. So moving to the Baltic Index, we saw that June started off at a low of 1,810, which was its lowest point of the month. The index began to slowly increase as the month went on, before dipping mid-month to 1,831. Thankfully, it did continue to increase throughout the last 2 weeks of June, dipping slightly before reaching the highest peak of 2,160 at the very last day of the month. We can see that this is higher than last month's Baltic Index, showing that the index is gradually increasing. The Baltic Index was recorded at 1,762 as of today. If we look to the FFA markets, we can see that the current spot price is $13,850, which has slightly declined since last month's spot price recorded at just over $15,000. The forecast for the upcoming few months is showing a positive one for the rest of 2024, as we can see that the spot price is showing to be just over $16,000. We can see that quarter three is to show an increase, with the highest figure being $16,350. And for now, the forecast for quarter four is to end at $16,150. We can see that the forecast for the beginning of 2025 shows a slight decline, with the spot price at $13,100, with small increases showing throughout next year. These predictions are still ahead of previous year's forecasts, which is showing a steady year for 2024 at the moment. As mentioned in other briefings, we do promise to continuously keep an eye on the global economy, with factoring in geopolitical issues that can cause ongoing effects to the market. So moving to global news, the Bank of Canada cut its benchmark interest rate by a quarter of a percentage point this week, as the head of the central bank suggests that the rate will need to be even more lower to reignite the economy. The Bank of Canada's policy rate, which broadly informs the cost of borrowing across the country, now stands at 4.5%. The move was anticipated by economists as inflation continues to decrease and the Canadian economy shows signs of weakness. The Bank of Canada's governor, Tiff Macklem, said he expects inflation will grow to slow going forward, even as the central bank forecasts economy growth picking up in the second half of the year. Moving to the UK, we saw that last month the sterling rose against the US dollar and the euro, but we can see that this month that the pound fell slightly, as it was down 0.12%, slipping further away from their one-year high. It fell more against the euro, which was up 0.26% against the pound. Traders this week increased their bets on the Bank of England rate cuts ahead of next week's decision. This shift was mainly driven by a change in the US interest rate expectations after a string of economic data and comments from former Federal Reserve officials backing a rate cut. As we know, and given the size and importance of the US economy and the dollar, changes in the Federal Reserve's expectations do tend to impact other developed economies. Jane Foley, head of the FX strategy at Rabobank, stated that if the Bank of England does cut interest rates, it could be a bit of a setback for the sterling. Although we did see a dip, the sterling steered clear of major dips in currencies like the US dollar, which was down 0.25% as of July 2024. So moving to the last section, I will discuss the briefing itself. You will see the figures in the first section showing the active RSA of 51.9 million euro with 63.68 million fully allocated. If we look to the right hand side, we can see that the credit index has returned to its norm of 71, with the trading figure for the month recorded at 10.1 million euro with all available ETR in the market fully utilised. Credit control performance decreased this month to 5.8 million euro, and the exchange's performance again continues to jump ahead of all prior years by over 42%. Our list of top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearances from Skanska, Costain, Balfour Beatty and Hansen UK. Back in at the top of the list, which is similar to last month's briefing, is a construction debtor, Balfour Beatty and Skanska Costain. It has been over a year now, with Balfour Beatty near the top, being the largest holding on the exchange. Skanska Costain is back near the top, with Hansen UK, CBRE and Atradius moving higher, making another appearance. Our donut graphs show a wide variation of our investments, with the largest sections again in wholesale and retail, health, manufacturing and hospitality. These different sectors have familiar debtors on our top 10 largest holdings, with regular and reoccurring ones, as well as new debtors being added each month. The performance in wholesale and retail was the largest this month, with CBRE and Atradius representing this sector. Health and community was our second highest in performance this month, which is represented by the HSE and Laois County Council in our largest holdings for June. These donut graphs continue to show the strong levels of diversification employed throughout credit. So if we continue to look at the performance sector, we see that month six in 2023, there was 100.3 million euro traded compared to month six of this year, which has decreased by around 29% to 70.3 million euro traded for June. Volumes remained steady for this month as the value to volume ratio increased again with higher value and quality traded ETORs. Investor redemptions decreased this month to just over 1 million euro, which is compared to month five, which was recorded at 1.6 million euro. The credit index, as we know, returned back to the norm at 71. And finally, following the last briefing, our largest trade was a construction trade this month at 2.4 million GBP. Our trend section shows the interest rate for the month running outside our current demand fix and term rates. We can see that from the briefing, the interest rate started slightly higher than previous months at just over 2.1%, and it continued to climb throughout the month of June and reaches highest point in the third week of the month at 2.13%. It began to level off at the end of June, ending at 2.119%, showing potential for July's rates to level off and stay steady for the month. As you'll all know from previous briefings, our investable rates are on offer for the three products, currently now stand at demand at 4.25%, fix at 5% for 12 months, and term at 19% at the end of the 36 months. This section shows that demand for investable is starting to level off and show consistency, with a combination of the new rates and the exchange traded securities, which has been a topic over the last couple of months. It is predicted that this will continue to grow. And as before, the briefing document ends with the RSA figure of 51.4 million euro. And that concludes this month's briefing for June 2024. Thank you.